Well, this morning we are going to jump back into Acts, and we're going to do the second half of Acts chapter 11. And I'm very always excited about getting into the Word. But I believe this morning God has really laid something on my heart. He's given me maybe a word that I know is for me. And when I think about life over and over and over again in life, we have opportunities where we choose one way or the other. Almost like a decide which way to go book when you read it and go to A or go to B. And in our life, there are moments when things are super easy and super great. And we just get to enjoy what God's doing. It is wonderful. It's really easy. But then, has anybody in the room ever had a moment when something kind of changed that? Maybe in a moment. Maybe a tragedy. Maybe something you don't even like to talk about because of how big of a deal it was in your life. Or maybe on a daily basis, there's little things. There's little moments that kind of throw us off of our game. This week, Pastor Rachel, some of the staff, we got to go to a leadership conference, and it was super great. I love getting to learn and glean from people who are just wise people. And they talked about a bunch of things. But at the end of that conference, Rachel and I were driving home, and we're stopped at the grocery store. We're about to turn in, and we see right in front of us this car turn and this other car just T-bone them. Thankfully, they weren't going too fast, so it wasn't a massive deal. It could have been a whole lot worse. But both of those cars were done. They needed new vehicles. Let's just say it that way. They both walked away. I mean, everything was okay. But that changed. Whatever they were doing did not happen. I feel pretty confident for the next hour or two, they had something they had to take care of. And then they had to figure out what to do about a car and how to get to where they wanted to go and how the finances were going to go. And we get in these moments in our life where all of a sudden had a plan, we had a direction, we knew what was going to happen, and then, bam, something changes. In the early church, we've been talking about the last couple of chapters in 9, 10, 11, how the church started in chapter 8, how there was persecution that arose within the church. The early church, they're doing great. They're in Jerusalem. Things are happening. And all of a sudden, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where they're told to go, takes place because in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and following, there's persecution that made them go. It made them take a step. It made them leave where they were because if they didn't, they were going to go to jail or they might even die. They were in a place where they needed to make a change and where they did. Persecution came upon them. We're going to read Acts 19 or Acts 11, 19 through 30. And just notice what God does, how God speaks, how God moves right in the middle of chaos. In fact, right in the first verse when it talks about Stephen, who was the first martyr, who was martyred as a Christian, his life was taken because of his beliefs that put them into this moment of persecution. And all of a sudden, they find themselves here, and they find themselves not hindered by what's going on, but they find themselves actually pushed into greater things. They find amazing things take place even when it seems like everything is crazy. So Acts 11, verse 19 to 30 says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine all over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his own ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. We see in this story, we see the church in Antioch, that people were sent out and that people began to talk about the good things of God in a new place. However, I find it interesting, right from the beginning, it says that even as they went, they were talking to the Jews there. Even as they were dispersed among the people, they still were only talking to the people that kind of looked like them, talked like them, acted like them, believed like them. They just were sharing the Jesus element of what was happening and of what Jesus had done in fulfilling the law. But then there were some people who decided to speak up and to speak out, to speak to those that were Hellenists, the ones that were not Jewish, the ones that were not just like them, the ones that maybe were a little different and thought a little different than they did. And then you see in these verses that multiple times it talked about that the church grew or the church expanded, that something amazing happened. And I believe in our life there's options that we have, and persecution can lead to two things in our life. It can lead to our contraction. It can bring us in. It can turn us into ourselves, where we no longer go out. Or as the early church did, persecution sent the people out. And it led to expansion in the kingdom. It led to the goodness of God being preached, the goodness of God being shared with those who did not know who Jesus was. There was this turning within them. And I believe in our life, in the life of Radiant Life Church, in your exact life, right where you are today, when things come up, we choose one or the other. Do we turn and run? Do we turn into ourselves? Do we contract, come to ourselves? Or do we say, Lord, I'm going to expand what you're doing in the kingdom. Kingdom, I'm going to let the goodness that you have shine through me. Now, thankfully, we do not experience persecution like the early church. We're not like, there's nobody crucifying Jesus. There's nobody stoning us like Stephen and many more as we continue through the New Testament. Thankfully, persecution does not come that direction. But persecution against the truth and the biblical reality of what the word would say, we see more and more. If we line up with the word of God, it doesn't anymore necessarily line up with our society. It doesn't line up with what the news would say is okay. It doesn't line up with what maybe even people, maybe even friends would say is right. There's a level of persecution. There's a level of decision to decide, am I going to be someone that no longer shares, no longer talks about, just keeps it to myself? Am I going to contract and pull in and have really fun times on Sunday morning? Or am I going to be someone that I expand what God is doing and I have to get into the word more than ever before and I need to be in tune with the goodness of God and with what he's moving, how he's sharing in my life so that I can expand his kingdom to my friends, to my neighbors, to my family? Am I someone who's contracting, pulling in, inside the church walls, inside my home? Or am I looking for opportunities to go out, to make a difference, to let the goodness of God shine through me no matter what, even if there's a consequence, even if something would happen, I am going to be obedient. And is that what we are choosing? I believe the early church lays it out for us that that is who we need to be. We must be people that are expanding. Now, when I think about this, expansion comes as Jesus' followers are stretched but not stained by our culture. They were stretched. They had to leave the norm. They had to come up with new ideas, a term that I love. I heard this a few months ago. I may have mentioned it a few months ago. But they had to kind of retradition the church, what it looked like. They had to come up with new ways to proclaim the goodness of God, to share Jesus. They had to come up with new ways. And some of that was even moving to new location where they could preach the gospel. But in being stretched, the early church had to be careful, and we have to be careful, that we're not stained by our culture. We can be stretched by our culture. We have to use creativity within our culture. We have to come up with new ways to reach out in our culture, but never to walk away from what the truth of the word would say. Never to change the message. Never to change who Jesus is. Never to line up with what our culture says because it's easier maybe even with the under the disguise of saying, well, I can be effective if I just don't say it quite like the word would say. And in our life, we have to choose if I'm going to expand and if I'm going to even be stretched. I'm never going to walk away from what the truth of the word would say. The Bible is the Bible, no matter what I think or what I feel. In fact, in Waymaker, I love how it says, even when I don't feel it, you're moving. Even when I don't see it, you're moving. Even when I don't know what to do or know how to do it, the word of God remains true. And I'm going to be someone, I pray we will be people that will be stretched. But we're not going to be stained by anyone or anything because we're going to line up with the word of God and trust that he will give us wisdom, that he will give us strength, that he will guide us and direct us, that he will show us how to see our friends and our family, our neighbors, people that maybe don't yet know Jesus, how we're going to be able to share the goodness of God with them. Persecution leads to not contraction, but it leads to expansion over and over and over again. When the church, when individuals have to make a choice, if they choose the ways of God, even in persecution, something happens. A spiritual level of maturity, a spiritual growth level takes place. And many times the church itself actually flourishes because people get real. People are all in. You can't be half in when you're persecuted. You're either in or you're not. And I want to be someone that I am all in with who God is. So expansion, it does something to us. It either leads to comfort or devotion. Now, when you think of church-wise, I think we have amazing facilities at Radiant Life Church. We have amazing kids' space. We all week long get to make a difference in 250-plus kids' lives now in our daycare. Absolutely amazing. In fact, the building is almost full. Jamie has just a couple of more rooms that can be open, maybe, and then we're... That's pretty much it. We are right about to the level of being maxed out. We're right on the edge. We've been able to expand our facilities, and it's awesome. I would say that we have such a great environment to worship Jesus in on Sunday mornings. We have amazing moments and amazing times in our girls' ministries programs, our boys' ministry, Royal Ranger. God is doing great things. And when there's a moment when expansion takes place, then we have to decide internally as individuals and as a church what that's going to do to us. Does that lead to a place where I'm comfortable, where life is easy, where life is good, and I can just kind of coast? In fact, a few months ago in one of our pastor's board of ministry meetings, I mentioned we are in a great place. We could just kind of do what we're doing. We could just kind of keep rolling because it's awesome. But I could never do that. When we see expansion, it must take us to another place of devotion to God, devotion to who he is. It must take us to a place where we get plugged into him and say with where we are, with the situation of my personal life, the situation of our church, what is it? How do we plug into the things of God and see him move to the next level? Because he's expanded. He's done things in our lives. He's done things in our church. And in their day, it says in verse 22, that they got the report, and then they sent Barnabas to Antioch. The church said, hey, we need to go see what's going on. We need to go be a part of this. We need to go pour into the lives of the people. And Barnabas, he went out. He began to encourage them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Not just to be there, not just to say, oh, the Lord is good, but to say, what is it now that I do? What is it that I need to do to experience him, to be devoted to him, to be faithful to him? Expansion didn't lead to a moment of celebration and comfort, but it led to a moment of plugging in, being devoted, seeing what God would do and how he would move in this moment. Devotion is holding to Jesus and his steadfast purpose above all else. It's saying, Lord, I'm going to hold to you and to what you want to accomplish in my life and in my world. I don't care what else happens. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the situation is. I am all in with who you are. And I believe that each and every one of us in this room are in a place where maybe there's situations and we've had to expand. And if we're not constantly looking to expand, let's do it. Let's get in the word. But then when that expansion comes, are we willing to be devoted to what God has for us right in the moment that we're in? Maybe devotion in your situation right now is that maybe you're married. And maybe your relationship isn't how you would like it to be. And God is calling you to be devoted to one another, to love one another, to work that marriage, to grow in that marriage. That's a huge thing. God would call us to be devoted. As expansion happens in our life, it's got to start in our home. He's calling us to be devoted to our family, to our friends. He's calling us to make a difference in the world that we are placed in, to hold tight to the Savior, to hold tight to who he is, and then to be bold in our witness. Maybe in your job today, maybe you've just been at a job and you've just been coasting. And you know what? I believe today God would say, don't coast any longer. It's time. How can you raise the bar? How can you make your boss say, what happened to them? Guess what? I think that's what all of our bosses should do. If we're followers of Jesus, if we're living on purpose, it's time to say, I'm never going to coast anymore, but Lord, I want to do what you have. Give me a creative idea. Give me a better work ethic than I had yesterday. Give me a more serving heart to make a difference. And I believe God begins to show himself as we expand, as we're in the Word, then all of a sudden there's a new devotion to the purpose that he's given us for our family, for our job, for our community, to make a difference by being bold in witness. He encouraged them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And then it says, and a great many people were added to the Lord. I believe that there's something that takes place when people see the church, when they see you devoted to Jesus and thus devoted to them, because it's about loving God, loving people, that all of a sudden when they see a next level, the people around us begin to say, whoa, these people, something's different. Something's happening. Something's being transformed. Something's being made new. And I believe that Jesus wants to do that in your and my life every day. He wants to begin and continue to show himself so that people come to know him just because you walk into your job and you smile when you shouldn't be smiling. And you're joyful with a heavenly joy, not because it's created or made up, because you're just happy to be where Jesus has you to be. No matter the situation, no matter what it looks like, I'm going to keep pushing on because my God is with me. The people in your life begin to see it to another level. Expansion leads not to comfort, but to being more devoted, to being tuned in to him and his steadfast purpose that he has for us. Persecution leads to expansion. Expansion leads to devotion. And then I would tell you that today, devotion leads not to customs, but to adjustments. Now, if you can't tell, this whole sermon is saying we can't stay where we are. We've got to always be moving forward, right? So if you like the same, you don't like to change this, you're not going to like this. In fact, that's where we're going. So this would be a good time. You can leave if you don't like it. Just kidding. Don't do that. That would be awkward. That'd be weird. But when we are devoted to the things of God, we don't just come and get customs and put it in a little box. In fact, the Jewish people that Jesus had to come and save, why was it so difficult for them? Because they had made it such a religious thing, the customs and the rules and the laws and the regulations that didn't line up with what the Word said had to be per se, but they grew them and made them bigger and crazier. That it's easy that when there's amazing things and God's doing stuff and we're devoted, it's easy to say, well, now I'm just going to do what I've done. I'm going to stay in this little box. I'm going to be sure that we don't ever let this stop. So the customs, the things I need to do, the little opportunities, I'm going to keep it right here. When the good things happened throughout the New Testament, they said it's time for an adjustment. It's time to get up and do something new. It's time to make a change. And in fact, I love this, that Barnabas says in 25, went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now, first of all, Saul, in the Bible, if you read it through a couple of chapters before, he headed off to Tarsus. But in real life time, that was about a decade, 12 years or so, that Saul has been in Tarsus, never not heard from. That we don't know what exactly was happening. Acts moves a couple chapters, Saul's 12 years older in his life. And someone actually Wednesday night asked, well, why do you think Saul was on Tarsus for 12 years, not heard from? I would contend that this guy who had been a part of stoning Stephen, holding their cloaks, a guy that had been coming after the church, a guy who maybe he was a little too zealous in the wrong areas, is it possible Saul needed a little bit of time to grow and to mature and to become who God had him to be? That would be my contention. I would say Paul needed a few years to figure it out. And which means that if you're here today and you're trying to figure it out, guess what? We better be in tune with the Lord. But it's not necessarily a one-week process, and now everything from my past is all good, and I'm just perfect in my life. In fact, if you are, then you need to come and you can teach and preach, because guess what? That's not the normal pattern. Thankfully, with Saul, God showed up and he did a miracle in his life, and then he put in the hard work of growing and maturing and becoming who God had him to be. And that is what we are called to do. We're called to grow. We're called to expand in our life. We're called to be devoted to God. And you never know when Barnabas, in our situation might be a little different, but when Barnabas gets sent and says, hey, Saul, it's time. Let's go do it. And I'm sure he was ministering. I'm sure he was making a difference in Tarsus. But all of a sudden, he comes. All of a sudden, he gets to be a part with what Barnabas is doing. What's happening here in Antioch? And it says that they began teaching. They began to teach the people many things. And when you look at that, the wording that would be used would be like a school setting almost. In other words, they had Sunday school a lot. They had pre-service Sunday school. They had Royal Rangers and girls ministries, and they spent way more time in the Word than they did playing dodgeball or the fun stuff for our kids or, you know, whatever it is. They got into the Word of God, and they begin to grow, and they begin to mature, and they begin to experience the good things that God was doing. And I find it interesting that they were first called Christians in Antioch after they had been studying, after they had been showing themselves faithful, after God was moving, after the church was being expanded. And I believe that it makes a ton of sense, because what is a Christian? Someone who follows Jesus, someone who's devoted to him, someone who studies and grows and doesn't just let the Bible be something that we have on our phone or that we bring with us to church, but that we get the Word of God inside of us. In fact, the last couple of weeks, one of our students, Janelle, she has been on Wednesday nights. She comes and she asks, hey, can I quote a chapter of the book of John? So last week was chapter 10. This week was chapter 11. You should just look at how long those chapters are. They're really long, like really long. And so I got to sit, and she could only miss four words or three words, whatever it is. She had no more than that. Even like adding an S or, you know, taking a the out or, you know, any little teeny thing is a word. And thankfully, she passed both times, because I was like, on the last word, you're just praying, Lord, don't let this be the word that makes it start over, you know, that she has to do it again. But getting the Word of God, our children yesterday in JBQ, it is so exciting what God is doing as our kids are growing and learning and studying. It is super exciting when Chandler comes home, and yesterday we were walking, and he's there, and he, if you know our five-year-old, he is all boy, and he is all child. He has all the energy that we wish we had, right? He has it. And he's there, and he says, I don't know what got him onto it, but he starts to say, I do not lie, I do not cheat, I do not steal, which is Royal Rangers. That's a big part of what they do. And then he added a few more. I'm not sure if those are new or if he just added a couple on the end. But one way or another, he started to talk about it. And there's something when we get the Word of God in us that begins to change us, that begins to adjust us, that begins to move us. And I believe Saul needed a period of time to get the Word of God. He knew the Word from a Jewish background aside, but to get Jesus in his life. And that's what we need. Adjustment comes as Jesus' followers grow together with purpose. An amazing thing takes place when we allow the goodness of God to not only be something that's an emotional response, worship, I love it, not only in prayer even, but when we dig into the Word, and when we don't do it by ourselves, but when we come together, and on a Sunday morning, we get to have fun and we get to worship, but there's something about being in someone's house. There's something about getting in a small group of 8 or 10 or 12 and actually opening our Bibles and studying together. and hearing what a friend might have to say or what their thought might be, and sometimes might be like, ooh, I'm not sure if that's exactly right. Guess what? We get to have iron sharpen iron and help each other grow. That is what they did. They were devoted. They were devoted to seeing God move, even to go and get Saul, to make adjustments. Comes as Jesus' followers grow together. It comes as we walk in purpose together. It comes as we're equipped in the scriptures. And I mentioned a few times, but I believe that as adults, our kids' ministries are awesome. But as adults, we need to recommit ourselves to studying the word. We need to recommit ourselves. What we do at home, what we do in the morning or at night on the way to work, listening maybe to the Bible, worshiping in the car, we need to commit to doing that. But we also need to commit to Bible studies and spending time with each other. We need to commit to doing even what that communion was talking about earlier. They got together and they would eat and they would hang out with one another and they would talk about the goodness of God. We need to commit to plugging into what God has and to pushing and encouraging one another on. I am so excited. In January, we are going to be launching new life groups. And as a church family, we're going to twice a month meet, one time in a home, the other time, and that time is going to be for discipleship, for Bible study. Our goal is we're going to have a video, 5-minute video or so. You watch it as a group. You read some scripture, then you talk about it. You get in the word. You let it saturate your life. Then we're going to pray together as small groups. We're going to spend time listening for the voice of God. We're going to spend time saying, Lord, what you just spoke, how does that maybe apply to my life? We're going to spend time saying, Lord, maybe even the 5, 6, 10, 12 people in this group, maybe I would have a word or I would be able to encourage them or build them up. We're going to spend time seeking him, getting in the word. And then another time a month, we're going to spend time doing outreach, which means we're going to come up with a whole bunch of ways for you to go to feed the poor, to take care, maybe to be a part of what's happening at Revive Church on the Hilltop and to help with an outreach or an event that they're doing. Maybe there's something in your own area to help at a school or to help after school. It doesn't matter what that outreach thing is, but we want to believe that we can do that. Or where we have times where we barbecue, where we have friends over to our house, maybe where we go, do whatever it is you find fun, you go on a hike. And not just our 8 or 10 or 12, but then we say, now's the time. Let's all of us in this group try to get one person to come with us. Let's try to have some of our friends come, the people from work. And on that day, we're not going to spend an hour studying the Bible. We're going to pray for our food. That seems like a good thing to do. We're going to make it safe. And I believe, that as a bunch of Christian people get together, and as we encourage and invite our friends to just come and hang out, I believe there's going to be opportunity for spiritual conversations. I believe there's going to be opportunity for you to make a difference in your friend's life. There's going to be an opportunity for expansion. There's going to be an opportunity to see a new devotion and even make adjustment in our life to say, my work is no longer about my work, but it's about the people at my work. It's not about the money that I get to make, but it's about what I get to do with the money that I make and how I can make a difference in the people of my world, in the people of my community. Adjustment comes as Jesus' followers grow together with purpose. And that is what I believe we are called to do. I know I'm excited, just myself, to be a part. I cannot wait. And the fourth thing today is that adjustment, that amazing thing that God does, that adjustment leads, one more word, it doesn't lead to committee. How many of you love committees? How many of you love meetings that you just get to sit in? Okay, Rachel and I love meetings. But we only love meetings if the meeting gets you somewhere. Anybody love going to a meeting and just talking for 2 or 3 hours and then getting up and nothing happening? It's the worst. It is the absolute worst. And I believe in church life, it's too easy to let adjustment take us to a place where now we've got a committee for this, we've got a group for this, we've got someone making this decision. But the word would say, nope, that's not what it's about. It's not about contraction or comfort or customs or committee, but it's about expansion, about devotion, about adjustment, and about being on mission. In fact, in verse 27 through 30, it says, in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. Now, I think that is so cool when God speaks in a prophetic nature. I believe that God still today will speak in a prophetic way. I believe that as we are in a group, as we are in the church, as we are believers, I believe that sometimes God will give you a word that helps you, either help someone else. Sometimes he'll give you a word that just helps you not get in a place you should not be in. There's something about a prophetic word of God that changes things, and that did not go away in Bible days. There's a prophetic word, I believe, that God wants to speak to each of us when we're listening and when we're attentive. And I believe over and over in our life, God will give us just a little glimpse into something that will change us and make us new or help us be effective in ministry. It'll make us who God has called us to be. And in this situation, Agabus comes. And it says this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now, I absolutely love this because it's one of those things that from sources we can see that Claudius's area, that it was marked by a succession of bad harvests, that you can look back in history and see that there was famine, that there were people that needed health. These things in the Bible, it's not just a story. It's not just something that we read, but guess what? It's real. It's true. It's the word of God. And sometimes it's easier, like here, where you can actually go back and see that there was a famine during his reign, during his time. And the church raised up money, raised up food, took care of their brothers and sisters in Judea. And Barnabas and Saul were able to take the food, the money that was raised. They were able to go and they were able to be a blessing to those around them. Even those in different cities, even those in different spaces, even those when it would be difficult, sent almost as a missionary to go and to make a difference. These disciples, they understood. Following Jesus, it's not about Sunday morning for an hour and a half. It's not about even a Bible study, but being a disciple of Jesus is being on mission. It means taking our time, our talent, our money, taking everything we are and working together to reveal Jesus to the world. That's what the disciples here understood. Whether it was going and getting Saul to come and be a part in Antioch, or whether it was sending Barnabas and Saul with the money that had been raised to go and to be a blessing and to make a difference in their brothers and sisters in Judea, they were called to be on mission. They were called to go and to share the message of Jesus with the world. I believe that when we as a church family come together, when we come and we say, Lord, I don't want to do my own thing. I don't want to be in my own space. I don't want to just kind of be it right here, contracted into what I do. I don't want to just be comfortable. I don't want to even sit in the comfort of my customs and my committees and my own space. But Lord, I want to go out with everything within me to share the message of the gospel. I want to serve. I want to be a part. I want to give of my time, my energy, my talents. I want to do that, I hope, at Radiant Life Church. I want to give of my time and be a part of a team. In fact, we would encourage every single person to be a part of a team. We believe there's something about serving and working together. But you know where I don't want our service to ever stop? Is in the Connection Center. Or where I serve in the kids' church. But it's about going outside of these walls, and what we do inside of the church prepares us and puts us in a place to be sent out and launched out into ministry. That what I do even inside of the church, in my giving, in sharing, it's just a tool to see the goodness of God go around the world. As Pastor Matt talked about, as we give to missions, as we see hundreds of thousands of dollars every year go around the world, that's our goal. And you know what we want to do? Is we want to see that number go higher than it's ever been before. We want to give more to Africa and Europe and wherever else in the world. We want to see that money go to see people fed and see the salvation of their soul, to see people taken care of, to see people make it to heaven because of what we do. Frank and June Rahaw, they are, I think they're with us one more week, and then they're going to be going to to the panhandle, to Florida, to help churches that rebuild from the hurricane. I think that's over a year ago now. We want to be a part of sending people like them, a part of a church family, that we have people that go. We want to be a part of people that on Monday morning wake up and your job, it's not about the money. We'll take it. The money's good. You need the money. We like tithes and offerings. It helps the church. But it's not about the money, but it's about the outreach. It's about making a difference. I believe that God wants to use each and every one of us. Pastor Matt and the team, if you guys would come on back up here. As we close this time, maybe there's people that are in each one of these spots. Maybe you feel like you've had expansion in your life, or maybe you've actually feel like there's the contraction and you need God to do something new. Or maybe you feel like you're in a comfortable spot and things are just easy. And today you realize, oh man, I need to stretch myself. I need to once again be devoted to God and to what He has. I need to be devoted to seeing one more person come into relationship with Him. Maybe that devotion maybe has led to customs or rules or regulation that you're realizing I need to make adjustments. Not to go against the word of God ever, but to line up with His word and see people around me come to know who He is so they can understand the goodness of God like we have the opportunity. Maybe we need to make adjustments in our life. Maybe we need to line up once again and be on mission with Him. Maybe we need to say, Lord, use my time, my talents, my money, use everything I am to see one more person come to know Jesus. This morning, I would ask you, if you'd say, you know what? I want to start growing again to a new level, to a new place like I haven't, maybe in a while. I encourage you, be looking, because in January, we're going to be launching our small groups. Don't miss them. In fact, if you're not actively involved in a small group sort of thing, iron sharpening iron, getting in the Word of God, not just going and hanging out together, but studying, getting in the Word, I encourage you, would you maybe even do more than pray? Would you just commit in yourself, Lord, I need to do this? Would you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump in. I want to be a part. And maybe today you're on the other side and you say, I want to be a part not only of going, but I would love to be a host or an assistant host. We're looking to get a pool of people. We're looking for 10 homes to be able to start groups in. We're looking for 10 assistant leaders who say, I'm not sure whether I can lead this one, but maybe next session, maybe when we get to September of next year, I want to be a part. I'm going to be a leader. I encourage you, you can go to radiant.family under life groups and you can sign up. And we'll help position you and help train you and help build you up. Maybe today, these last few verses, you'd say, man, there's things in my life and I have not been generous. I want you to know that as a church over the last few weeks, we've been able to help some people who they needed a hotel room. And they actually came to our work day. I said, if you'll come to our work day, we'll take care of your hotel rooms for a couple nights. So we got to talk with them. We got to encourage them. We got to get them a hotel room. We got to take a guy and just get him some gas. Someone who was struggling because they had a fire in their apartment, I mean a flood in their apartment and lost a whole bunch of stuff. That you are getting to be generous with your money, whether you know it or not, as a church family. But maybe today you say, I don't give regularly. And we would encourage you, if you're a part of this family, to do something we call recurring giving, which means you can go online, you can put it in every week. Every week, my wife Rachel and I, we don't have to worry about it. We tithe, we give to a building fund, because I'm always going to give to building fund, because I'm always believing for expansion and growth. So whether we have an official one or not, we give to a building fund. We give to missions. And if you're not doing that, I would encourage you to let God speak to you. Maybe for you, you need to start super low. Maybe you don't have any extra money. I would encourage you $1 a week because there's something about being faithful and obedient. Some of you, maybe tithing. You've not been a tither. That's giving 10%. I would encourage you. The Bible speaks about a blessing that comes. In fact, anybody, if you come and you say, I want to start tithing, I'll give you a guarantee. If for 3 months you tithe and you want your money back at the end of 3 months, we'll be happy. Because I believe never happened in the past that anybody's asked for their money back. I believe when we give and when we tithe, a blessing comes to us. And no one's ever like, I want that. Can you give me the, I want to put the blessing back. I want my money back. It doesn't happen because God moves when we're obedient. So whether we're just jumping in or whether we're jumping into tithing or maybe we're like, it's time to give to missions. I want to be able to give more so this message of the gospel goes around the world. You can do all that stuff on radiant.family. You can sign up. You can do recurring giving. If you need help, the people at the tables right outside, they can help you. We would love to help you. But it's not about one of these areas. It's not about what we do here. It's about making our life one where we come together, experience the goodness of God, and go and reach our world. It's about what we do after this service. In 10 minutes when we walk out of here, it's about what we do. Is our life about Jesus? Is our life about expansion, being devoted to Him, adjusting and going where He has us to go and being on mission? Or is it about what we want to do, what we think? Maybe even about past experiences, things that were difficult, things that hurt. Today, I encourage you, if you let the past be in the past and you let the goodness of God come, He will walk with you, He will uplift you, and He will make you new. In fact, this morning, if you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, I encourage you, there's nothing better. There's nothing that you can do that's better than saying yes to Jesus. And this morning, all you have to do is right where you are. You just have to say, "Dear Jesus, make me new. Take my sin. Lord, I want to live for you." You can do that right in the moment. Few words in your heart make a lifetime of change, an eternity of change, an eternity of difference. He'll celebrate you. And in fact, I encourage you, if that's you today and you say, "I want to make my things right," would you do something after church? Would you pray and then come talk to me? Maybe somebody's sitting right next to you this morning. They brought you. You could talk to them and say, "I want to make things right with Jesus. He loves you. He has the best things for you." But I'm going to pray, and we're going to take 5 minutes, and we're going to close this time just saying, "Lord, what is it?" in worship. Let it be a prayer time. Maybe you need to come and find a place at the altar. Maybe you need to just turn to somebody right next to you. Maybe in a physical need, or maybe an emotional thing, a relational, or a job. The person next to you, if they know you or not, they would love to pray with you. They would love to lift you up, because we're together in this thing. We're a family. This morning, time to live on mission. It's time to go all in with Him. So Lord, we glorify you today, and we ask you to move. We ask you to pour your spirit out. Lord, whether we feel like we're Saul and we've been 12 years not heard from, Lord, today might be the day that Barnabas come, that you come and you maybe do something, turn something new in our life. But Lord, no matter what, we commit to living on mission. We commit to making adjustments, to being devoted to you, God. We commit to expansion in our life, expansion as the word of God becomes real and active and whole in us, Jesus. Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, what we're doing as a church family, Lord, that every single person would be a part, Lord, not because it's just fun, because it makes a difference. It's an eternal difference to someone this morning. And every time we get together, Lord, let us work together, serve together, grow together. Lord, for our new life group leaders, that they don't know it yet. Maybe they haven't signed up. Maybe I don't know yet. Lord, I pray that you would raise them up, God. Lord, that we would be a family that iron sharpens iron. Lord Jesus, the men's group that started this morning, that meets on Wednesday night, God, we ask you, Lord, to do a work in them. For our women's Bible studies, God, we ask you to make new and make whole, Lord, to bring your spirit upon them. Lord, for every group that meets in this place and the ones that are going to happen, Lord, we ask you to be glorified in them. But Lord, not just for fun, but Lord, because the truth changes things. Lord, help us to line up with you, to line up with your truth, to line up with you, Jesus. So right now, as we commit ourselves, as we take a few minutes to focus on you, Lord, prepare our hearts to leave here, Lord, and to make a difference in our world. We thank you, Jesus.